Okay, there we go. Pray with me for a moment and let's get started here. Heavenly Father, we want to just say thank you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for every and all the blessings that come from you and from your hand and just you've put and bestowed upon your people, and we're just grateful for it, Father. Just this day, Father, we thank you for the chance to read your word. We thank you for the chance to come before you. We thank you for the chance to just to receive from you, Father, what you have for us and for your people. And so just this day, Father, as we would go into your word and into this time, we ask that you would speak to us, quicken us, Father, in our being, and quicken us, Father, to walk the path and the journey that you have for us. We're grateful for your plan and purpose for your people, and we move forward in it in this time. In Jesus' name. Okay, all right, thank you. Let us go to Hebrews. We are in part three of this series called By Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And we read this entire chapter last time, but we're just going to touch on those first three verses and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Okay, so we started this series in along the lines of, and we titled this series, By Faith. And we talked a little bit about what it is to, so if you haven't heard part one and part two, please go back and listen to those because this is a continuation. But we talked about what it is, how things are done by faith and through faith, and how this is part of your eternal nature. This is part of being created in the image and the likeness of the Most High. This is part of being manifest in a physical being, and we manifest things that are unseen into this dimension as well. Part of how that works is we speak as it is, we act as it is. We know things already exist because God has revealed them to us within ourselves. And we carry out and walk those steps. And this is where things go from the place of faith to the place of manifestation. So it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is why for the follower of the Most High and for the worker of the Most High upon this earth, for those that are of this world, the way that you live will be a difficult thing for them to grasp and to comprehend because you live a different way. The world lives according to what they can see, taste, touch, smell, feel, and that which is already around them. And because of that, they very seldomly create anything. They pretty much just go by what they're told and what they're programmed to do. Whereas the follower of the Most High, we can see that which may not be seen by others. We can hear that which others won't necessarily hear and comprehend. Now, what does that mean? You will come up with an idea. You will come up with something. You will see something that somebody else doesn't see. This is where inventions come from. People see how things are, and then it comes to them how something could be different. So they see it's the substance of things hoped for. They go from that into a place of creation, a place of imagination. These are sparks of that which is within you that is eternal, and that which is within you that is actually a reflection of the Most High Himself, because He is a creative being. Go back to the very start of the book. And in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke. So it happened. And this is where also the frequency of sound, the frequency of what you say and what you do and the intention that you hold, all of that impacts the creation of these manifestations upon the earth. Now, this is not just spiritual context, there's a tremendous amount of science out there that backs up all of what we're talking about today as well. You can go and look up the experiments that were done with water and water memory in Japan. Some of that was really well documented. And just look at what happened when water was around an environment of classical music or love, and look at the kind of crystals that were created when it was frozen versus looking at water when it was around heavy metal music or a water treatment facility or something like that. And you see the crystals that come from that, and they're ugly, they're misshapen. Because why? There's no life in them. And the water carries that memory of the frequency of what it's been around. So we recognize more and more how that which is unseen comes into the seen and manifest realm. And we, as children of the Most High, as followers of the Most High, as beings here in this breath space, think about it. The only reason that you're here is you're breathing, right? Right. Okay. So because you breathe, and God breathed the breath of life into you, because you breathe, you exist here in this paradigm. When that breath stops and returns to the Most High, then you, in this construct, will no longer be here. Okay? All right. So while you're here, while you're taking your breaths, and all of us have a certain amount of them, as long as you're taking them, you might as well be about the purposes of the Most High. All right? So we recognize aspects to who we are, power in who we are. There's incredible creative power in who we are. And this is something that the worlders and the enemies of the Most High try to grab hold of and steal from you, because creation happens in and through you. We are the sources of manifestation upon the earth at this time. God uses us to create and to manifest his plans and purposes upon the earth. This is why the enemy of humanity works so hard to steal and to hijack human consciousness. It works so hard to hijack your thinking and your thought processes, because it cannot create on its own. It has to have you. It has to have your mind, your thoughts, creating their world. So that's why they give you 190 channels, right? But all of them are pretty much the same. It's to get you thinking a particular way. That's why the music is the way that it is. It's to get you to sing a certain way, to think a certain way, to have a low vibration, low frequency, distracted mind, so that you do not focus on the things that really are actually of some substance and some merit. Okay? So you've got incredible power within you. You can create. Please listen to part 1 and 2, because those are going to tie into part 3 today. Today, let us go to Romans 5. Now, we know that you have within you the ability and the power to create incredible, incredible things, right? And but in the process of creation, it doesn't come without opposition. So let's go to Romans chapter 5 here. There we go. There's that bookmark. Romans chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Okay. All right, there's so much in this, and there's so much to discuss in this, but the part that we're going to focus on today is the earlier section here of what happens when you have an assurance that's come within you, a solution that has been put within you, within your heart, within your spirit, something that God has made known unto you. And you know that it already exists. Well, one of the things that happens is now that faith gets tested. The parable of the sower is along those same lines, and you can go and read that one as well. The parable of the sower, it goes on different ground, right? And depending on the heart, depends on the manifestation of that seed. What happens with that seed? But now, in this regard, the testing of your faith, it's not that it might happen. When it happens, right? When it happens. Okay, because the scriptures say, first of all, that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when you're justified by faith. So there is that peace that you have that comes from being in that right relationship, and that comes through that reconciliation process, that comes through that connection with the Most High. And Jesus Christ is that link, is that connection, is that place. It's incredible, it's powerful. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So we've seen that, we know that, we comprehend and understand that. And this is why the enemy has such a hard time with Jesus. You know, this is this name that just drives them nuts, right? Okay, let's keep going. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. How many people glory in tribulation? How many people are trying to run away from the difficulties of this life? Find a safe space, right? No, that's not the way. It says, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Ah, there's a process here, right? There's a process. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience, what does that do? Experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he is given unto us. Okay, so, and actually, here verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, there is an element of strength also, and it's not an unrelated reference there. Think about this, resistance, right? Now, we've talked a little bit about this in the past. How do people get stronger if you're training your physical body? It's done so through resistance, right? When you do strength training, you do resistance training, there's a thing called resistance training. It's right there. What does it do? It builds strength in you. When you do not have resistance, when you do not have opposition, you do not build strength. You build strength through the difficulties, through the struggles, through the trials. And you also know, because the testing of your faith, What does it do? It actually builds within you, you that assurance. Because what happens? It tries your faith by fire, and you continue to persist. You continue to go forward because you know what it is. You speak as it is. You act as it is. You know what the solution already is. So here we go. Tribulation worketh patience. Now, patience is not a modern day virtue, but it's a good one. And this is a skill that will carry you through life. Patience. You know, a pastor, a dear friend of mine, he's no longer here in this paradigm. He's gone on, but Pastor John Cherry, he used to say, "We got time." And I love that. You know, when people would always try to put him in a, make him rush to do something, he would stop and say, "We got time." Patience. Patience. When you know that, first of all, time in and of itself is an illusion, right? So the focus on the past, the focus on the future, stop. This is the moment you have. And in this moment, are you going to be anxious or are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the way that the Most High has spoken to you? Are you going to trust that He's in control? Will you hand all things over to Him? Will you maintain gratitude in the middle of this difficult circumstance and this situation? Or will you not? and undercut yourself, right? Patience. It worketh patience. And what does patience do? Experience. Now, experience, here's the thing. There's a lot of people that would like to, they want to watch a world-class athlete do something incredible, and then they want to go out and try to do the same thing. Well, there's some experience and there's some background that's happened before that guy ran that incredible 100 meter dash, or jumped so high, or swam and made it look effortless, but just looked like a dolphin, right? There's experience. And in life, when you go through difficult circumstances and situations and you see the Most High continually, again and again and again, take you through, protect you, carry you through, provide for you, at the right time, something opens up, there you go. And it changes the dynamic of everything. You've got experience. You know how this works. Experience. And this is part of what builds your faith. This is part of what builds your trust. Because you know that He's not going to send you out and let you fall on your face. But He's going to carry you through. He's going to walk you through. And you're going to know. And it's going to be your experience, not somebody else's. See, listen, there's way too many people that live their lives in the experiences of someone else. It's someone else's story. It's somebody else's book. It's somebody else's narrative. No, what is your story? What is your experience? What has been your walk with the Most High? Because that is your faith. You can read some story somewhere else and occasionally grab a little inspiration from that. But that's not your experience. That's somebody else's experience. God quickens you because He wants you to have your experiences with Him. He wants you to know for yourself that He is faithful. And He wants you to walk in faith and walk through faith in your journey in this life. An experience does what? Hope. Ah, yes, hope. Hope in a world that they keep trying to tell you that everything is hopeless, right? That is the narrative of the media. Listen, these are clowns. They wouldn't know. They don't know. They're just doing their job. They're doing what they're being told for a paycheck. And it's a narrative that they put out, but they have no idea. No idea. The people talk about the world being overpopulated. It's an absolute lie. Today, with even what I know of personally, just, and I don't have access to all the stuff. No, not at all. In this material world, but you know, if I tap into what God wants to show, absolutely, I've got access to everything. But from what I know, could triple today the population of this world, and everybody could be taken care of at a much, much higher level than even right now, without depleting and destroying the resources of this world, but actually managing them so much better. You don't know how to do it? Then you can step down. Let the people step in that know how to do it. But the world, to try to push an agenda for power and control, and it's being done by psychopaths that are in league with the devil, with Satan, with the enemy of humanity, they are fulfilling that plan of the enemy, which is to steal, kill, and destroy, right? The devil was a liar from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. They're doing that, okay? So they're just true to form. That's what they serve. They can call it whatever they want, but they're children of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. And that's who they serve, and that's who they're the offspring of. So don't call them anything else, because you know what they are. Because you will know a tree by what? Its fruit. So if they lie, if they steal, if they kill, if they destroy, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, you got a clue. All right? So deal with them accordingly. But for you, follower of the Most High, you have, as you walk with Him, hope. Now, hope is not based on their hope, because they don't have any hope. They actually have no hope. The worlder has no hope, because they've turned their back on the truth. And when you turn your back on the truth, and when you turn your back on the Most High, what are you left with? What are you left with? Well, you're without hope, because you've turned away from the very source of it all. But for the follower of the Most High, you have hope, and that hope does not disappoint. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which He is given unto us. All right? So, the testing of your faith. The testing of your faith. Now, here's some things that happen with the testing of your faith. All right, here's a working statement on this. When you're the testing of your faith, when your external situations, circumstances, and life events are not consistent with that which you know to be true. All right, I'm going to read that again. The testing of your faith is when your external situations, circumstances, and life events are not consistent with that which you know to be true. Because see, here's the thing. If you've got faith for something, you know it to be true. Because you have faith for that. And that God has put it in your spirit. And so then, when your external situations and circumstances and life events are not consistent with that which you know to be true, that is a testing of your faith. And there's a reason that that comes, right? The objective of the testing of your faith is to get you to give up, to believe and to create the lie, to give away your power to the enemy, right? Now, what are some ways that your faith gets tested? Well, let's talk about that for a second. All right, so here's one. Life and life circumstances. Okay, God puts something in your spirit, and you start taking a step out in that direction. Listen, a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't even take that first step. You know, there was a statement when I was in India that was very powerful. It said, most people want to know the will of God for their life so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. And basically, I found that to be true. Most people, they want to know the will of God for their life so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it and implement it and walk it out. They just want to sit there in the armchair, scratch their chin and say, that's interesting. That's interesting. But So, I mean, the rich young ruler, case in point. He wanted to know God's plan for him, but he didn't really want to do it. And he kind of wanted to do it as long as it didn't take him too far away from his comfort zone or from what he knew for himself and what he could see, taste, touch, smell, hear, the senses. When Jesus said, okay, you want to be perfect? Go sell what you've got and come and follow me. Now, I've heard this mistaught, unfortunately. And the thing about it is that it's not that God doesn't want you to own things. He doesn't want things owning you. All right? And in that situation, this man was owned by his possessions. And God gave him a chance to break free of that. And in the process of him realizing, but he refused to make that step. And what did it do? He left there sad. He left there perplexed. He left there with his face downcast. Why? Because he would not let go of those possessions, those things, because they owned him. And God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. God will give abundantly, but that cannot be your motivation and your reason. And if it is, God keeps things away from you for your own benefit so that it doesn't become a hindrance. So if you're walking in his plan and purpose, you're going to be, whatever your life circumstance and situation, you don't mind. You don't mind because you know he's with you. And at the same time, you have it within yourself to manifest and to create whatever the circumstances require at that time. And God will set you up and lift you up to a high place. He takes care of his people. But people sometimes, they believe the lie of the enemy. So, and in doing that, they work against themselves. So life circumstances and life situations can come up and will test your faith. Will test, so when you, this is where you've got to press on and press through. When things come up, and this is back to Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12, you see these examples of all these people that did all these incredible things by faith. Every one of them was tested. And the difference between them and so many others is that they persisted because they knew within themselves. You have to have an assurance within yourself beyond the external circumstances and situations that come into your life. So when don't be like the seed that was sown on the path that just the birds come and snatch it away because it's got no roots. Or the stuff that's in shallow soil that just gets scorched as soon as the sun comes out. You know, grow some roots, go deep. So that when the life circumstances and situations take place, you will be able to go forward and to stand and to persist. So one thing that will test your faith is your life circumstances, right? But this is where you've got to continue on. You've got to continue going. And whatever it may be, you know, maintain a grateful practice. You know, think about the things that are going right, not the things that are going wrong. Because most times there's a whole lot more to be grateful for than, you know, the simple thing that you may not be working right at the moment. And that's just temporary too. Those things can change. Okay, so one way that your faith is tested is by your life circumstances. Here's another way. By your mind. I was, you know, thinking about days back in D.C. a little bit, or in Maryland with the Pastor Cherry. That is stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. Okay? Stinking thinking. You know what I'm talking about, right? That mind chatter that says things in your brain in your mind and you entertain it. Why? Why? You detach yourself from that. Observe it. But that's not you. You know, scripture says a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So why are you going to let that be framing and testing your faith? God speaks something into your heart, and then you let your mind start running amok. Now listen, sometimes the enemy's coming at you as well. And sometimes these things come from outside. You think they're your thoughts, but they're not. They can be interjected in a lot of different ways. And you have to know the truth and walk in that truth. And don't let the lie take root in your mind and in your spirit. Because it's a certain chatter. And what does that chatter do? It sends you in a direction that's opposite from what your faith is and what your faith knows things to be. God calls you, you know, his son, his daughter. God says you're a royal priesthood, and what did they tell you? No, they put you down. In your own mind, in your own thinking, you say bad things to yourself. You don't need somebody else. You say it to yourself in your own head. Stop. Stop. Speak the words that God speaks over you. But along those lines, okay, so how can your faith be tested? Life circumstances, your mind and stinking thinking, right? Okay, there's that. Here's another one. Your company, the people in your life and in your world can either strengthen you in your faith and in your journey or shipwreck your faith. How many people have people, and you've got, a lot of us have both types in our world, but we've, some of us that are a little bit older, we've gotten better at this, of knowing which ones to keep close and which ones to keep at a distance. The ones where you have an idea or you want to create something and you go talk to them, and one person will say, you know what, that's a cool idea. Let's talk about it a little bit more. And then the next one will hear the exact same thing and say, oh man, that's dumb. That would never work. Why would you think about something like that? Right? It's the same idea. But one is crushing and hindering and hampering, and the other one is saying, okay, let's look at this. Let's nurture this. Let's bring this out. It's the approach, and it's the kind of people in your world. The scriptures and Proverbs say, bad company corrupts good character. It also says, walk with the wise and you will be wise yourself. So what does that tell you? Okay, well, you know, modern versions of this, modern written books and bestsellers and all those kind of things will tell you, you know, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, right? That's one. List out the top five people that you spend your time with, and you can pretty much say who your future is going to be with. Okay, right, fine, whatever. But you know that the people that are going to be in your world are going to positively or negatively affect you. So, the person that can have the greatest impact on your life is going to be your spouse. This is why, you let God direct you in those kind of things. And you for your spouse. Because why? These people, your best friends. Why? Because these people will be there. And if they believe in you, they'll strengthen you. If they don't, it's going to tear you down. So be a strengthener for the people that are in your world. Raise them up. And if you do not have good people in your world, then push them out and push them far from you so that you can have, and sometimes it's just people have an off day, right? What did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. So sometimes people have an off day. Peter did right then and there, because not too long before that, God was commending him. But sometimes you can be off. So you've got to guard and move forward in your own journey and Hold fast to the thing which God has revealed into your own heart so that you can fulfill it. And whether your faith is tested by your life circumstances and situations, or whether it's that mental chatter that tries to come your way, or your company, right? Whatever it may be, you know the tests will come, but when they come, know what the objective of that those tests are. The objective of those testing of your faith is to get you to give up, to believe and to create the lie and to give away your power to the enemy. So what are you going to do about it? Well, here's some things you can do about it. Here's one. Remember the promises of the Most High. Okay? This is why we have the scriptures. This is why we have Him speaking to us. This is why you write things down. Remember the promises of the Most High. Remember the instructions of the Most High. Write these things down and visit them, because they will remind you and they will quicken you in those difficult and dark times. Remember the promises of the Most High. Speak the promises of the Most High. The devil says something to you, you speak the truth. Go look in the mirror and speak truth over your life, not the lie. Speak the truth. You know, there's so many times God would have me preach and teach. And sometimes you don't feel like it. But you speak the truth. And you know what happens? Everything changes. Because you start feeling like it. you know, there are TED Talks out there about how when you change even your body posture, all of a sudden you have a mental change, mental shift. If you put your hands on your hips, you start feeling more ready, right? If you cross your hands in front of yourself, you're blocking yourself off. You're closed. The things you can do, just even in your... When you speak the truth, when you start saying, this is who I am, because it's true, but you start walking in that truth, you're going to see the difference in your own life and in your own journey and in your own world. You know, here's another thing you do. You shake off the enemy. You shake off the enemy. And you get rid of it. And get rid of him and his methods in your life and in your world. Shake it off. You know, all the things that he might throw your way, you don't want them. You know, you do not let those discouragements of the enemy take root in your life and in your world. And this is why you want to guard your circles. Guard the people that are your company and your counsel. If they are not in line with what God is speaking to you, push them further out. Doesn't mean that you wish anything against anybody in this regard. But you need to, if you're going to fly and soar and rise up and be everything that God intends for you to be, then you're going to have people in your world that are moving in that direction and moving in that way. And if they're not, and if they're agents of the enemy, then you've got to keep them at a distance. This is part of you tending your own soul. So, you know, this is a responsibility. Other people can't do this for you. All right? And here's one more thing that you can do. Get smart. Rise up. Proclaim the truth. Okay? You've had enough experiences now in your life and in your journey to see and to know how God works with you. To see and to recognize His plan and purpose and the power of that, how He is faithful to His promises in the journey that you have with Him. So remember that. Get smart to the tactics of the enemy. Do not let them manifest in your own life and in your own world, but continue forward. Go through whatever testing of faith that is there for you, because on the other side of it is, through the process of patience, experience, and hope, you know, we have the love of God that's manifest in our hearts, and you're strong. and the kind of things that you can do when you have strength, so much more. So much more. You know, you can accomplish incredible things with the strength of spirit that God puts in you. And it's not a human effort thing. This is just you flowing with how God does it. Listen, this is your walk. No one else can do this for you. People can support you here and there, but you have to walk this one out. This is your walk. So walk it well. Okay? Okay, with that, we will close right there. Thank you, Father, for this day. Please bless everyone that has heard these words, and please bless the reading of this word and your truth, and be with your people in all things, in Jesus' name.